Well, good evening, everybody. I'm really sad that I can't be with you in person. I very much enjoy meeting different congregations and talking about these things. But this is good enough, so we can still talk about these things. And I see there are some questions coming in on the chat, so we can make it two-way as well. So, as you may have picked up, I'm a scientist, and I guess the fact that I'm here tonight speaking at your church service, you've worked out that I'm also a Christian. And probably what you don't know is that I became a Christian at the age of 18. So pretty much just before I went to universities to start studying physics. So for me, I've really had this question of what does it mean to be both a scientist and a Christian running side by side throughout my entire adult life. I am as old a scientist as I am a Christian. So I've been wrestling with it. I've talked to a lot of people about it, and I think I'm pretty much at peace now and have got a settled view about how these two things combine together in actually a wonderful sort of way. So I thought what might be helpful is it to give you a little talk tonight that I've called Six Reasons Why I'm a Christian and a Scientist. And I'm going to rattle through these fairly quickly, so hold on to your seats and we'll see how quickly we can get through all six. And it's late on in the evening, so as not to overburden us, I've got each point down to a single word. So essentially this sermon is six words long, so I hope that pleases. So the first reason, anything I do is because of Jesus. And that was really what happened when I became a Christian at the age of 18. I read the Bible for the first time and discovered the real Jesus. Actually, I was really quite surprised at how different the Jesus of the Bible was to the Jesus I thought that I knew about. And what strikes me is that one of the things that Matthew in his gospel says about Jesus is that the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. And that was absolutely my experience. At the age of 18, I was absolutely struck by the way that Jesus had authority to speak about spiritual things. He wasn't giving his opinion. He wasn't guessing about God. He made a very clear claim that he knows about spiritual things. And I was very struck by that authority. And I'm not the only one to have noticed this. So one of my scientific heroes is Albert Einstein. There are some scientists of the past where you think, yeah, if I'd been there at the time, I'd worked really hard, I could have discovered that as well. But Einstein, he is different. Every time I read something of Einstein, I think, you know, I could have been there at the time and I could have thought about this for 100 years and I still wouldn't have worked that out. I think he's just amazing. He wasn't a Christian, sadly, but what he did say was, Einstein, I'm enthralled by the luminous figure of the Nazarene, in other words, Jesus. No one can read the Gospels without feeling the actual presence of Jesus. His personality pulsates in every word. No myth is filled with such life. So even to somebody who hadn't come to the point of acknowledging Jesus as king, which is what I take to be a Christian, Einstein realized there was something different about Jesus, that luminous figure. And that was very much what I found. And I guess with my scientific hat on, I just see Jesus as the piece of experimental evidence which won't go away. And this is a very common thing in science. We build our theories, we build our models, and sometimes you keep doing experiments and making measurements, and there's just one bit of data that is in contradiction to everything else that you've got, but you know that data is so solid, you can't ignore it. And actually that's where real success comes in science quite often, because that fact that won't go away is usually the doorway into tremendous discoveries. And try as I might to explain away Jesus as deluded, or as over-enthusiastic, misleading, misunderstood, however you might try to explain Jesus away, none of those explanations really fits. Jesus has authority, he is so different, and I just can't get past that. So that's my basis really for being a Christian, because of the person of Jesus. But then secondly, what I call lifestyle, I think actually being a Christian is a good way to live. I think it works very well as a scientist to live as a Christian, and also actually as a non-scientist. I find very attractive the fact that Jesus is the servant king, that Christians follow a leader who also serves them, who came not to be served, but to serve. I love the lovely people that I've met in church throughout my Christian life. That's been a real joy. And I think the focus which the Bible encourages on being thankful despite our situations at the moment, this is a great example. None of us is in a particularly comfortable situation at the moment with the lockdown, but nevertheless, we have many things to be thankful for. And that focus on being thankful is very good for our mental health. Fundamentally, I believe that God's laws are good for us, and that when we do what Jesus commands us, that is actually the best way to live as well. So Jesus' lifestyle. Thirdly, and this is a big one for a scientist to say, I believe that Jesus and what he said is true. One of the things, I think, Mario, you're asking me at the beginning about what do people ask me sometimes as a scientist and a Christian. One of the things that comes up all the time is people want to talk about proof. So some people are confused. They say, Russell, your life as a scientist is all about proof. How then can you believe in God when there is no proof? Doesn't your head explode under the weight of the contradiction? And one of the things that I say is, well, actually, real science has got very little to do with proof in the strict sense. Proof is actually a word that we only really use in mathematics. Science is never quite that clear cut. Now, don't get me wrong, we still base our science on evidence, and we always have good reasons for things. But proof is not something that actually we deal in very much. The way I would describe it is that science works in a noisy environment. There's always contradiction. There's always, nothing as clean as you would like it to be. So I'm a physicist who studies electrons, and electrons are tiny compared to us, billions of times smaller than us. And so we can't see them directly. And so my entire scientific life has always been about making indirect measurements, trying to work out what I want to know about the electrons by measuring something else. So scientists are actually very good at saying, we've got a limited data set. What is the most reasonable conclusion to draw from the limited and sometimes contradictory information available? We're also very good at dealing only with a partial picture. I think if any of us as scientists waited until we had every last bit of information before moving forward, we would never do anything. Everything we do is slightly tentative, based on the best information that we've got at the time. And I think that's exactly the way we deal with God. We absolutely don't see God as clearly as I would like to, as any of us would like to. That's not the point, though. The question is, do we have enough information? What's the most reasonable thing to do, given the limited information we've got? And based on that, I'm happy to say that I believe the claims of Jesus, and that what he said about God is indeed true. So it's about Jesus. It's about a good way to live, a lifestyle. It's about being true. Fourth reason is about creation. And it's ironic, really, that one of the other things people often say to me is, well, surely as a scientist, you must have a problem with Genesis. How can a scientist possibly believe in Genesis? And there's an awful lot we could talk about that. Maybe in the questions we can pick up on that a little bit more. The thing I love about Genesis is that it tells us that God made the world, and that if we study the physical creation, which is what scientists do, then we are studying the works of God. So that psalm that Mari very nicely read to us at the beginning, the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. This is really the scientist's psalm. It's saying that the heavens, so I take that to mean the stars, astronomy, they are declaring the glory of God. And therefore, those of us whose day job it is to look at the stars or whichever bit of creation is our own speciality. We are actually being paid to look at the glory of God. And the skies proclaim the work of his hands. So again, my day job, the thing I get paid for, is to study the work of God's hands. And I think that's tremendously exciting. And it's a tremendous privilege that because of my scientific training, I get to see the glory of God just that little bit more clearly by studying the things that he has made. And this really gets to the heart of why I don't think there is any fundamental contradiction between a scientific worldview and a godly worldview. They're really just looking at two sides of the same thing. The scientist is looking at the things God has made. The Christian is looking at God himself, the creator and his creation, two sides, both of which need to be studied together. John Polkinghorne, who's one of the great thinkers in science and Christianity, talks about binocular vision and how binocular vision is better than just seeing through one eye. And as a scientist and a Christian, I believe I get binocular vision. I get to see God himself and I get to see the things which he has made. So Jesus' lifestyle, true creation. The fifth reason, this is maybe something that can be best appreciated by other people who are scientists, and it's rest. Scientists work really hard. We work crazily hard. I think I've worked a 60 or 70 hour week for the last 20 years. I'm really tired. And again, the Bible in its inimitable way has great wisdom about these sorts of very heavy workloads. So the book of Ecclesiastes, for example, has got wonderful things to say about that. So Ecclesiastes says, "For with much wisdom comes much sorrow. The more knowledge, the more grief." And that's something that those of us who are in knowledge-based industries need to remember. The more knowledge, the more grief. And it says, "Of making many books, there is no end, and much study wearies the body." And I've made quite a few books in my time and therefore quite weary. In contrast, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. You will find rest for your souls." And as a scientist who is completely obsessed by his physics and who lies awake at night thinking of electrons, I find it wonderfully refreshing to be able to come to Jesus, the one who says he will give rest to our souls. And of course, the promise that those who trust in Jesus in this life will spend eternity with him, that great promise of Hebrews, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. And so as a busy, hardworking scientist, I relish the rest, both now and in eternity, that comes through being a Christian. So Jesus' lifestyle, true creation, rest. And my final reason, my sixth reason, is called. I started this by saying reasons why I am a scientist and a Christian, but I wouldn't want to give the impression that I believe these are things that ultimately I chose to be. Jesus said that no one can come to him unless the Father who sent him draws them. And that's something I'm very conscious of, that at the time when I became a Christian at the age of 18, I thought that this was me working out the best way to live. I think as I get older as a Christian, one of the things that I realize is that all that time God had a plan for me, and that he put the people in my path who would ultimately show me Jesus, and that God is ultimately in control of all of our spiritual destinies and outlooks. And that's tremendously reassuring, because any of us who are followers of Jesus, whether we're scientists or not, it's not always easy. Jesus says that he would make us like himself and that he was the man of sorrows. And to know that our Christians are only able to confess that Jesus is Lord because they have been called and that the Holy Spirit has enabled that in them gives tremendous resilience and tremendous confidence that no one can snatch us away from God. So there we go. In very short time, I am a Christian and a scientist because of Jesus, because I think it is a great lifestyle, because I think it's true, because I want to study all aspects of creation, both the creation and the creator, because I need the rest that being in Jesus brings, and because fundamentally, I believe that I'm called by God to that. And with that, thank you very much for listening.